Hi, he's Justin Souther.
Yes, this is Ken Hanke to my left.
Yes. You can't tell that I'm to his left, but he wouldn't lie.
Trust me, yes. We're coming to you from the Carolina Asheville.
The Cinema Lounge in the Carolina Asheville comes to that, yes.
And I guess we should also point out that we're elitist bastards.
Most people, I think, know that we're elitist bastards, whether we say it or not. Sometimes feel like we live in the movies, or at least I do.
Where should we start? There's
There's quite a few. And what would you like to start with? Would you like to start with the cinematic delight that is Step Up 3D? I mean, I'm more than happy to.
We can do that.
Defer to you on this.
Why don't we defer
treasure.
To me?
All right, we're deferring to you then. All right, let's defer.
I went into this movie with zero expectations.
As well, you should.
Yes. I think that's the only way to go into this movie. And I was delighted, I say, to find out that it's incredibly stupid in the most entertaining way imaginable.
Well,
I don't know if I can really recommend it, but...
We haven't talked me into it yet.
Well, I've seen a lot worse things. Actually, maybe I have not seen worse things, but I've seen more boring things.
Ah, okay.
That's what I should say.
I've seen worse and more boring things. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Probably you've seen them this weekend.
Yeah, it may well be. I won't go so far as to say I have dated worse things, but it's possible.
Nonetheless.
Even so.
We have is the third Step Up film. And these movies is just... They're dance movies. There's no real plot to them.
There's a sort of plot. You told it to me. They ripped it off from Rent.
Yeah, they these people that all live in this warehouse find out that their warehouse is being taken from them.
That happens when you don't pay your rent.
Yes.
Yes.
And so they have to win a dance competition.
Which comes as a great shock to the characters in Rent, so it probably does here, too.
Well, their whole plan is they're 6 months behind on the rent, and they're trying to win... a dance competition for $100,000, which a warehouse in New York City, I don't know if $100,000 is going to do you all that much.
For 6 months rent, maybe, maybe not. Depends on where it is, I suppose.
Yes. But, anyway.
It also sounds an awful lot like Judy and Mickey putting on a show in an abandoned ice factory to save something or other.
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's not, the plot isn't really important, because if it was, this would... be a frightening thought, but the whole thing is just to be extremely gimmicky with its 3D, which is what 3D
is a gimmick. It should be used in a gimmicky fashion.
Yes. It's why I
get the good out of this nonsense while you're
It's why that's why I can't buy Avatar as an important film, because it's at its base gimmicky. Like, at its heart, it's a big gimmicky action movie, but
with 11-foot-tall blue people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But anyway, back to Step Up.
Yes.
It's probably the best use of 3D that I've seen since My Bloody Valentine came out last year.
And My Bloody Valentine is excellent 3D.
Yes, and this is as well. You can tell there's no point in seeing it in 2D. This whole thing's been shot.
There's probably not that much point in seeing it, but yeah.
No. But it's incredibly... goofy and stupid, and in that kind of way, it's entertaining.
I want to hear about the Svengali of Stepping you told me about, the guy who runs this show.
Oh, he's just some dude who... He's a would-be documentarian. He goes around filming all these dancers and interviewing them. When we actually see his film, it's pretty god-awful. But it impresses this young lady he's smitten with. So I guess that works.
Okay.
and he just recruits wayward dancers to come live with him. Except we never actually see him dance, which is very clever. You see him in line with these people when they're getting ready to dance, and then he'll just disappear. You see him slide on the floor once.
Well, that happens if there's like an oil spill.
Yes. Well, I think there was. I forget what there was. He slides around on the floor a little bit, but besides that,
that's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
So. My life will be a meaningless shell if I don't go see this.
No.
No.
It's got this guy that does the robot really well, and that's all he ever does. He has no lines. He just does it with the robot.
I'm not sure that that's really a solid enough recommendation to...
It's not really. It's a good indication of what level this movie's working on. And in other... I guess... The Other Guys. You didn't hate it.
I didn't hate The Other Guys, which is an admission of some note, because with the exception of Melinda and Melinda, which... My biggest problem with that is that Will Ferrell is just miscast in it. I mean, you know, this big, doughy American guy playing a character that was obviously written with Woody Allen in mind. You can imagine how this works or doesn't. And I really liked Stranger Than Fiction.
Right.
Otherwise, Will Ferrell is generally somebody that I would like to see taken out and beaten for supposing to be funny.
Right.
And this is surprisingly okay. It was entertaining. Mark Wahlberg makes a good partner for him, and I think this helps a lot. The rest of the cast is good, and it also seems to be tailored to the rest of the cast. I think this helps a lot. It was pretty funny, generally, while it was on screen. The action scenes were well done, and they were coherent.
Okay.
But... This is stops short of being a recommendation because I know I laughed at some stuff in it.
Right.
But now, just a few days later, I have no idea what it was. So it's a very insubstantial sort of picture. It's
so
a
if
sort
you
of
catch
thing
it on that, cable on accident.
If you catch it on cable accidentally, it would probably be okay. But I mean, it's fine for what it is.
Okay. And I guess in other stranger news...
In other stranger news, for reasons that have to do with people not understanding the geography of Western North Carolina, the sequel film to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, opened mysteriously at the Flat Rock Cinema in Flat Rock. And it did so about 2 weeks before... It's slated to open in Asheville. So I've seen this. It's really good. It's not great. It suffers from, and I'm sure this is inherent in the novel, the fact that your two main characters have almost no scenes together. You're either with one of them or the other until the very end.
Right.
Now, the first film does that for, what, about the first half of the film?
Yeah.
And then, but then they actually have scenes together. This one suffers a little bit too from being the middle film.
Right. And it's obviously.
I was perfectly satisfied. I mean, if I had never seen anything after The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I'd have been cool with leaving it where it was.
Right.
This one is a film that ends in such a way that you know there has to be another segment to it.
Right.
It's kind of like the end of the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie, where you know that it's not going to end up with
Lord of the Rings, or
yeah, or you, but you know it's not going to end up with Johnny Depp inside the mouth of this animal,
right?
So, but I mean, it's entertaining, it's well done, it's not as stylish as the first film, it has a different director, has a different screenwriter.
Uh-huh.
I question, and I haven't seen the film twice to see if I could make any sense as to whether this would be the case or not. But while I was watching it the one time that I saw it, I questioned if there were aspects of this that you would even be able to understand what was going on if you hadn't seen the first film. There are also there's at least one aspect of this that I think it thinks it's a blinding revelation, and while there are aspects of it that are a blinding revelation, mm-hmm. I already knew this information from the first film. At least the major thrust of it
right.
is in the first movie. So as far as being a, you know, this great revelation, it really wasn't. Also, the ending is not nearly as good or as complicated, and certainly not anywhere near as creepy as the first film. But it's a solid. If you like the series, if you like the first film, you'll want to see it. And you probably do need to see it to get to the third film. So I don't think you can go 1-3. I think you're going to have to see this film. Okay, I'm going to go on record right now as saying The Killer Inside Me is a nasty, brutal, violent picture that depicts at least two very significant instances of brutality directed toward women. And even if one of these women is Jessica Alba, some people will probably object to this. If this is going to bother you, this is not the film for you. However, you should, if you know anything about the book that it's based on, or anything about Jim Thompson's Pulp Fiction writings, this shouldn't come as a big shock to you, but it appears to have come as a big shock to quite a lot of people. People at Sundance walked out in horror over this movie. I will have to say I don't think it all works, but I think as a glimpse, or an attempted glimpse, into the mind of a sociopathic killer, it's not bad. I think it attempts a lot of things, and I think that if you look at it in the light of it's being told, even though it's not done in subjective camera, which would, you know, Robert Montgomery tried that in the late 40s and made an entire film with point of view camera, and boy, does it not work. It's a fascinating dead-end experiment. But it is all really from Casey Affleck's character's point of view. So you can't really necessarily believe that what you're seeing is true. What you're seeing is his idea of what's going on, and his idea of who he is and how he is. And to me, that's what kept the film interesting, even through certain slow moments. I recommend it, but I only recommend it if you're not going to be offended by it.
Opening Friday at the Fine Arts
is Coco Chanel and Igor Stravinsky. The first, I think it's 13 minutes mm-hmm. of this film, which mostly details the premiere of The Rite of Spring in 1913 in Paris, is one of the most incredible pieces of film that I've seen in a long time. And if the rest of the film had been up to the beginning of this, it would be the best film I've seen this year.
Assuming that means it's not.
Unfortunately, right. No, it does not. It never becomes a bad film. It's always an interesting film. But you're dealing with two of the most closed-off, non-communicative, downright closed mouth characters, and they don't have a whole lot of facial expression either.
Right.
So you never get to know them, you never really get to understand them, you never get a good feel for who they are. It still is an interestingly made film. It's a beautiful film, and it has so much to recommend it, but it is kind of, until towards the very end, it doesn't have a whole lot of emotional weight. It's more like you're watching a really clever exercise in filmmaking. But I didn't much care what happened to either of these people.
Right.
So.
Well, they're both dead.
Well, yeah, that is true. They're both dead. Yes. So. They've both been dead for a while now.
Yes.
So. They don't care that I don't care.
Probably not.
Probably not. No. Matter of complete indifference to them.
I don't either.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, you don't care that they're dead, or you don't care that I don't care?
I don't care that you don't care.
Well, I care that you care that I don't care.
I don't see why you would.
I don't see why I wouldn't.
Thursday.
So, Yes, this was your idea too, I believe.
What?
Kronos.
Yes. Well, it was. Hey, let's show a horror movie. Okay. Kronos. Okay. That's about where it was, I think. Which, I'll admit, I have not seen this movie.
You have not seen Kronos? I thought
no.
You saw it.
No.
Okay, so this is another one.
I think it's
one.
The only
Del Toro you haven't seen?
I think so.
Have you seen Blade 2?
Yes, I have.
I am so sorry, Mick.
I remember not being
Justin.
That awful, but I wouldn't go the Harry Knowles.
Nobody would go the Harry Knowles route, dear, yeah. Ever. That is the most obnoxious review I have ever read in my life.
Anybody who hasn't read it should go find
yes, they
it.
Should
I'm not going to tell you
no.
What it is.
No, this is a... We like to pretend that this is a family podcast.
Do we? No,
well,
we don't.
No,
well, I don't.
Kind, well...
What family's going to listen to us?
I don't know.
Hop in the minivan. Listen to Ken.
I suspect we'll be showing Kronos at 8 o'clock on
yes.
Thursday in the Cinema Lounge
which
at
is
the Carolina.
The first Del Toro...
The first Guillermo del Toro film, and it's his extremely different take on vampires. This isn't one of those cheesy, oh, it's a different take on vampires that turns out to be the same old bloodsucker. And it's
or
not.
They're sparkly.
And they don't sparkle in the daylight. This is a really strong film. Personally, I still think it's his best film after Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
So, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
Take Blade 2 out of the mix, that's pretty high. Not that wild about the first Hellboy picture either, come to think of it. So.
I like Devil's Backbone.
Devil's Backbone.
After seeing Pan's Labyrinth, I like Devil's Backbone more.
Yes. So. Yes, I would agree with that. But it's still, I mean, but this is a... This is a viable horror picture. This is not just an art movie, so don't let that put you off. However, you do need a degree of literacy because it does have subtitles.
Or speak Spanish.
Well, yes, you could speak Spanish. I suppose that would work,
you
too.
Can be illiterate and speak Spanish.
This is true.
And enjoy yourself.
Well...
And, we should point out once again... I don't know where I'm going with this.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I was going to point out where we were going to have the Film Society screening, which is, again, in the lounge at the Carolina. And
yes.
It will be Tuesday.
And it will be Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
And it's free.
And
where are we showing, Ken?
Well, Tuesday, mind,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Is August 17th. And that means... It's my mother's birthday. Well, actually it is. But it also is Mae West's birthday,
okay.
Which is the way I can remember when my mother's birthday is. Don't tell her.
Are you saying she's not going to listen to this?
I think we can be safely assured of that.
Maybe if you forward it to her.
Yeah, I would have to forward it to her. My mother is the master of forwarding email I don't want to read that she thinks is
right.
Worth reading.
So are you saying she doesn't want to listen to this?
I'm sure she doesn't want to listen to this. On August 17th, which is Mae West's birthday,
mm-hmm.
We are honoring Miss West
yes.
By showing her first two movies.
Uh-huh.
The first one being Night After Night, which is really a George Raft film. She doesn't come into it until about a half hour into
okay.
It, and she immediately just takes the film over.
And I want to make sure people understand... Since we're going to be watching Shortcuts tonight, and that's at 3 hours.
Yes.
Well, that's over 3 hours.
Yeah, well, Shortcuts is over 3 hours tonight.
Yes.
And two Mae West films together are not 3 hours long.
Okay.
Because the first one's like 70 minutes, and the second one's like 63
okay.
Or something. So, you know,
that's
we're...
Fun.
You know, it will be easier, and there are those who would agree with this in more senses than one, to sit through the two Mae West films than the one Robert Altman movie. Anyway... She comes in to the film. She arrives amidst a whole bunch of men and goes into George Raft's speakeasy nightclub and immediately delivers one of her most famous lines when she hands her fur to the cloakroom girl who enthuses goodness, what beautiful diamonds, and Mae West fires back without even a pause, goodness had nothing to do with it. And that became, in fact, that is the title of her autobiography. And that became the first of any number of famous Mae West lines. And she is what everybody remembers from this film, even though she's only in the second half. Now, the rest of the film is okay, but she's what makes the film memorable, and she is what saved Paramount Pictures from bankruptcy the next year with her second film, which is She Done Him Wrong, which is a version of her stage play, Diamond Lil, which Diamond Lil was on a list of things that the censor people said you could not commit to film. And it turned out that they didn't have a problem with the story. They didn't want you making a film by that title because the play had a certain notoriety attached to it. So they changed the title to She Done Him Wrong, and they changed Diamond Lil's name to Lady Lou, and they still came up with this story that involves white slavery, Mae West kills at least one person, and while it could be construed as self-defense, she's not even going to get arrested for this. She sets up another guy and gets him killed, and she ends up coming out on top of the entire thing. It drips sex. She's constantly, well, that's the big thing about Mae West, was she took sex out and made it funny. She made fun of it. And she wasn't particularly, she was a striking woman without being a particularly beautiful woman. She has a kind of a Brooklyn accent. She's barely over 5 feet tall. She's a little on the, what we like to call, Zoftig side. But she had something. She had a 43.5-inch bust, so yes, this is... I think we're going to have to excuse our producer for a moment now. So anyway, I mean, this film is many things. It is not the film in which she says, come up and see me sometime. Actually, she says to Cary Grant, why don't you come up sometime and see me? And then later she says, come up, I'll tell your fortune. And he's supposed to be a Salvation Army captain at this point, and she gives him one more look as he sashays up the stairs and says, you can be had. What's opening this week?
Movies.
What movies are they? We're doing this very quickly.
Are we?
We're racing
through. You're doing it much quicker than I am.
Well, yeah, you're lethargic.
Yeah. The one I'm reviewing, I've somehow conned my way into reviewing Scott Pilgrim, the new Edgar Wright. Which, I should probably go back and watch Shaun of the Dead, reassess it. But when I originally saw it, I was not too hot on it. But I like
Shaun of the Dead. I loved Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
And I loved his trailer for Don't and Grindhouse.
Yes.
So that's.
And I keep meaning to watch Spaced because you can get it on the internet for free, legally. So.
Well, that's no fun.
But it's been, what was it? Named off Phantom of the Paradise as an inspiration.
Well,
for this.
It must be
so,
good. Okay.
Yes. So.
So.
Even with Michael Cera, well, I mean.
I'm still not ready. After Nick and Nora's infinitely long playlist,
right,
and especially after Paper Heart, I'm not sure I'm ready to forgive Michael Cera for existing.
Maybe he's even sick of himself.
That's possible.
A possibility. So,
but I see he wears a hoodie in this, so he's still being Michael Cera. But I'm curious enough that, let's put it this way. Here is a movie I am not reviewing, I'm going to go see anyway.
Okay.
So, it's high on my list. And against all odds, I'm interested in seeing the other big opener, which is...
The Expendables.
No.
Oh. That's probably the other big opener.
No, it may well be the other big opening. The other big opener, supposedly, is Ryan Murphy's Eat, Love, Pray with Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
My interest in this, I mean, I don't have a problem with Julia Roberts. I know a lot of people do, and I don't. especially in her post 2000 work. She's done more work in the past decade in movies that I like than she ever did when she was really popular.
Right.
I think she's brilliant in Closer, for example. I think she's very good in Charlie Wilson's War, and I think she's fine in the Ocean's pictures. But my interest in this, I mean, there's nothing about this story that immediately screams, oh, you will love this movie. But I did love Ryan Murphy's. I mean, everybody knows him from Nip Tuck, and they know him from Glee. They know him from television, which I don't believe I have seen either of these shows ever. But he made a movie in 2006, which was taken from the memoir Running with Scissors. I don't think very many people saw this movie because it tanked badly. But I liked it a lot, and seeing it a second time, I loved it a lot. So I'm hoping that there is something of this to this movie. Why I should think that a PG-13 Julia Roberts picture about search for self-fulfillment is going to be in any way, shape, or form like a darkly comic story of a young gay man with a deranged mother living with a family of lunatics. I have no idea. But hope springs eternal. And then we have what? Well, what else do we have?
The Expendables.
And I'm sure it is. Go ahead, you tell about The Expendables. Even though I'm probably reviewing it, you tell about it.
Well, it's a big, dumb action movie. I think that's really the point of it. Well, it was the idea of, like, Sylvester Stallone to just collect washed-up action heroes and Jason Statham.
All right, so where are Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal?
I don't know.
Well, he missed them. I mean, come on. I mean, they're no good, but dear God, he's got Dolph Lundgren in this thing. Well, I mean,
Dolph Lundgren can do a very good American accent, which is more than Schwarzenegger could ever do.
This is true. Okay. Okay, I will give him that.
I don't know what that translates into, but
I'm expecting it to be big, dumb, noisy, and with any luck on God's earth, unintentionally hysterical.
I guess we're signing off.
Have we come to the end of yet another show?
I believe so.
Wow. Time sure flies when you're having fun. Or not.
I don't know.
In any case, I'm Ken Hankey.
I'm Justin Sowler.
And we're from the Mountain Express, who are the nice folks who make this possible, so the nasty letters should be addressed to them.
Or at least mailed to them.
Mailed to them, yes. You don't have to address them. Just put blank envelopes in the mail, and the Express will get them, yes. You know, that works, too. Our program is produced, cohered, and otherwise overseen by, what's his name?
Steve Schanefeld.
Steve Schanefeld. Yeah, I knew his name from someplace.
Your dreams.
Yeah, I probably was. I met him somewhere once, too. I should stay out of there. So, in any case, I guess that's it for us being elitist bastards for this week. But we'll probably come back and be elitist and bastardly again next week.
Probably.
It seems likely.